Just guys, just keep it out of Twitter, right? Because it's not 100%.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. It's the Differential Show. As James just said to me, before we do predictions, I have an announcement at the start.
Yeah, because I don't want people to wait for it. And let
Should
me
you drum roll.
I mean, you can do. Yeah,
I don't know what kind of announcement.
Strictly, no. This is information for patrons that is not going to go public, and I intentionally didn't mention on the Ask James stream this morning. The source that I trust from Leeds, who has told me that Manchester United and Leeds will be provisionally announced for February the 8th in game week 22. That is the Wednesday night. Now, of course, should either Manchester United or Leeds have an FA Cup replay in that midweek, it won't happen. Please do not take this as 100% gospel. When I say a source, I say it's someone I trust, but I've not been given the information of where that information has come from to him. You've got Chinese whispers. There's no guarantee. In any case...
Is that game at Old Trafford?
Yes. In any case, I had it added to the provisional schedule on the planner sheet with Leeds as the most likely fixture for Manchester United to go into game week 22. I would rate my confidence on a scheduling of that fixture at around about now sort of 80 to 90%.
Tasty!
To refer back to what I'd said yesterday and to add to the complication of this, I'm not convinced we're going to get an announcement. I spoke yesterday about that I thought particularly United and Brentford could be announced at sort of 7 days' notice for game week 22. And I think there might be a consciousness here of, let me give you a scenario. Manchester United beat Reading in the FA Cup fourth round, but Leeds draw at Accrington Stanley. Who are they exactly? And then the Brentford fixture might go there instead. I genuinely think that sort of thing could happen. But it does sound like it's in the works for provisionally United and Leeds to go into 22, which most people were aware of that possibility anyway, but I'm more confident about it now than I was yesterday.
Okay.
That is sharing the information. I'm not going public with that because I'm not 100% sure of the source, and I cannot be dealing with the fucking idiots on the Bird app and go, you said... That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I've been told, and I trust where it's come from, that this is the intention. But I don't know. That's not direct out the club or anything. That's been passed down. It's secondary information. For all I know, it's third, fourth. Do you know what I mean? For all I know, it's been passed down several sources. But that's what I've been told. To make you all aware, it sounds likely now that Manchester United and Leeds will probably be added to game week 22.
What date was that?
February the 8th. Which is a Wednesday night.
Keep the patrons busy for 2 minutes while I tweet. I've been...
You're not going to do that. Suj, please, I beg you...
It's 8th February.
I beg you not to do that. I swear to God. Just guys, just keep it out of Twitter, right? Because it's not 100%. I'm sharing the information that I've got with you guys because I think that's the right thing to do. If it doesn't happen... Shoot me, apologies. But it sounds the most likely reason why it wouldn't happen is because Manchester United or Leeds have an FA Cup replay.
Understood.
That's where it's at. So I don't know if that will affect decision-making. What I can also say in terms of the knock-on impact of that is, obviously that makes Chelsea versus Liverpool for that midweek less likely.
Okay.
That's what I would say. Though, the caveat to that is that there's no guarantee that United Leeds will be shown on the telly.
Right.
So... It wasn't actually, unbelievably, it wasn't an original TV selection. So it could be that it's just played that night with no TV coverage.
Cool. Well, let's see. It obviously makes Manchester United assets interesting. Although they were interesting anyway, it's just more a case of do you then necessarily need to come off the...
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it doesn't change that information if it's correct. Doesn't change my thinking in the slightest, to be honest, because of... We've partly been expecting a likely United game in that week. So it doesn't particularly change anything. Like I said, it just sounds more likely.
Cool. Shall we predict some of these games? And when we talk about our teams and what we're going to do, we can maybe talk a little bit about what's actually happening with injuries and that kind of thing. Right. So we start with...
Timestamp, 20 past 11.
A game tonight, which is Villa League. Yeah, no presses, right? Well, there have been some presses.
Well, Jurgen Klopp's is in 8 minutes.
Yep.
from recording.
Villa Leeds tonight.
Yeah, looking forward to this. I think Leeds games are normally quite enjoyable and have not had the opportunity yet to see Villa in a fixture that they've been expected to win under Unai Emery. So they've only, to be fair, they've obviously had a difficult run of fixtures. They would have been expected to beat Wolves. They didn't play well in the first half in that game, but I think that might have been due to Matty Cash playing right-hand side of midfield in that particular fixture, which they amended in the second half and then got better. If you do not match Leeds United's intensity, you are in trouble. And I think that could be a good fixture tonight. I think it could go either way. It's a little bit of a toying cost. I think Villa would rightly be favourites. But I am going to go for a 1-1 draw.
I'm going to do the same.
Leeds have a good record against Villa since they come back up.
Have they?
They scored three times on both of their visits to Villa Park.
Their front kids are lively. So yeah, I'm going to do the same. I think it's going to be 1-1 as well. Villa have been better, obviously, as well.
Yeah, I just think Villa might end up in a position where they're going to become, I think, a difficult team to beat. But when the onus is on them, they might struggle a bit more. Yeah. They might become that sort of team.
The early kickoff tomorrow, 12:30, is the Manchester Derby.
Yeah, and it's really difficult to predict because it's like trying to predict Pep's lineup and what that's going to be, right? Which I covered a lot on the Ask James stream this morning. But I don't really know what he's going to do. What I know is they're not in a great moment for a number of reasons. I think fitness might have something to do with that. And United's confidence is flying high. I think for the first time in a really long time, United fans will be looking forward to that game tomorrow and genuinely believing they will beat City. And I think that they will. I'm going to go 2-1 United.
I'm not going to go there, James. Although I think...
So rare for me to predict City to lose. So rare.
Everything makes logic. If it was 2-1 as you described it, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. But it being City, I'm going to back them to win 2-1. And that gap could get suddenly double digits, 10 points, 11 points, 12 points. It could be quite a problem. So I think I'm going to back them to win 2-1. I think it's a hard one to predict. Brighton-Liverpool.
Talking to teams not in a great moment. We're obviously waiting on Liverpool injury news, but they're not in a great position at the moment currently either. Whereas Brighton seems to have sorted themselves out. Interesting footnote, we haven't discussed this at all this week. We believe Leandro Trossard may have been banished from the squad, according to certain reports.
For doing what? Being in my FPL team.
But, well, no. Someone tweeted me yesterday and said, tell Suj to sell him.
I don't own him.
That's what I said. So don't own him. Leave him alone. He's not Suj's fault this time. Apparently, he's just not come back from the World Cup with the right attitude and stuff, apparently.
Fair play.
And he's, I think he's out of contract, I want to say, in the summer. So he might even leave Brighton in this window. And look, if for some reason he's come back with kind of big time Charlie attitude or something, then that's the right thing to do. Get him out of the football club. Brighton, we know, will go and invest well again. And he's often played on the left and obviously in Karim Mitoma. They have a player now that's completely ready to take over. So despite some own internal issues, it doesn't feel like the issues that Liverpool obviously have with the injuries. Nunes, we think, is out for a while. But as I said, Klopp's press conference is literally about to start as we speak. We think Roberto Firmino might still have an issue. Obviously, Van Dijk's injured now. Jota's not back. Diaz is not back. There's problems. And they're another team, Brighton. If you go in and you're not right, I think Liverpool will have fixed minds tomorrow because I think they will know it's a difficult game. They've had some issues with Brighton. Admittedly, in games at Anfield, the two recent games at Anfield have been 3-3 and 2-2, respectively. Tells me Brighton believe that they can play against Liverpool as well. I'm going to back Brighton to beat them. I'm going to go 2-1 Brighton.
again, this is another one where your prediction wouldn't surprise me. I'm going to go 1-1. I feel like I'm fence-sitting a little bit here. But like you said, Liverpool know the task ahead of them. They still have the firepower of the likes of Mo Salah and so on. But I'm going to go 1-1. I think I am fence-sitting a little bit here, James. Everton-Southampton.
I'm going to stick with my COTC prediction, but it obviously does feel a little bit different since Southampton's game on Wednesday night. With obviously the victory against Manchester City has certainly lifted morale and spirits and give them a platform of something to start from. Plus, the Everton situation seems to have worsened since recorded with Sean, to the extent that Farhad Moshiri's ended up putting a statement out to supporters groups saying not a lot, other than basically ain't selling this football club. Mm. And they obviously want him to do so. But as discussed with Sean on COTC, like, who would buy Everton Football Club at the moment, right? Or when it's on the brink of going down. I think if Everton lose this match, they are worse than in the shit. Badly. To the extent that I think they may end up finishing the season bottom of the league. I think this is a massive game. You look at what they've got afterwards. West Ham away, Arsenal at home, Liverpool away. There's some other teams around them have got some good fixtures, including yourself, Serge, including Southampton, including Nottingham Forest. Could get really messy. They cannot lose this game on Saturday. I'm going to back them to win it 1-0.
I was going to back Everton as well, 1-0, but I don't know. This feels like a really hard week for predictions.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah, by the way.
1-0. I mean, even Forest at home to Leicester. Again, Leicester on paper, definitely the better team, but then they're not at full strength. What do we know on James Maddison?
Not ready.
So, and Forest have been better defensively. Yep. They've been better at home.
Yep.
I feel like a 2-1 Forest is my prediction on this one. But I mean, Leicester still got firepower. They still got Jamie Vardy and Harvey Barnes and Tielemans and co. There, they're not. They didn't turn bad overnight, but they just hit and miss. But I'm going to back Forest with the home crowd 2-1 in this one. But it's difficult.
I'm going to do the same, but I'm going to throw the clean sheet in with it, and I'm going to go 1-0 Forest.
Okay, Wolves West Ham.
This is a tough one as well. I think we've seen over the last week perhaps small signs that West Ham might be in a bit of a recovery period. But I think we've definitely seen that Wolves are in a recovery period. And again, with home advantage and the fact that they've got Manchester City and Liverpool to follow, I think this is a bigger game for Wolves than it is for West Ham. And I'm going to back Wolves to win 2-1.
Reverse it. I'm going to back West Ham in this one 2-1.
Good boy.
But I agree with you that it might be a bigger game for Wolves. What you're talking about are seeds of recovery with West Ham. I think that's more grinding out points and results than actually performance being much better. It was the first half of Brentford was better, but other than that, Leeds was okay. And the FA Cup against Brentford was okay. There was only the first half against Brentford in the league game that was better performance. But, you know, like I mentioned on Tottenham, unbeaten in 2023. We need to keep this run going. I'm going to back us to win 2-1, but it's a tough one. Brentford, Bournemouth.
Brentford, obviously in good form. Bournemouth feel like it's obviously going the other way. And I think we should be conscious that they are very much on the slide at the moment. We don't have Tony injury news at the moment, but I think if this had been a single game week with Tottenham and Arsenal playing each other, the Manchester derby, Liverpool going to Brighton, I think a few people even would have been punting Tony captain this week if you had the knowledge that he was definitely available. Because I can't foresee Brentford not beating Bournemouth tomorrow, to be totally honest. Brentford, even if they have, it's one of them where I think, look, there's expectation to win and that can bring problems for teams like Brentford. But when I also consider that Brentford are one of the most threatening teams in this league from set pieces and Bournemouth have a massive problem in terms of defending them, I can't see Brentford not winning the game, to be honest. I'm going to go 2-0.
I'm going to go 2-0 as well. And I don't think the Tony in or out is going to be a problem for them at all. Because
I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Bissa is a handful. He's a really good player. And like I mentioned on Tottenham, Sade, I didn't realise he was in the game as a 5 million midfielder.
He's a midfielder forward, isn't it?
He's a 5 million midfielder.
Is it midfielder? You sure?
I'm looking at it, bruv, on the screen.
Fine.
5 million midfielder with 0% ownership.
You are right.
I think he's going to be...
Obviously, he's got 0% ownership.
Yeah, I get it, but no, not obviously. Like, João Felix has got fucking ownership, yeah. So it's not obviously, but I think like if we didn't have the clouded nature of double game weeks coming up and having to target United and Palace and City and Tottenham...
He's targeting Palace, are you?
Well, you know, minus 56, I've got a couple in, I have to...
Yeah, you ain't buying Wilf.
No. But my minus 56, I am.
Are you really?
Yeah, it's a 1 week punt. Got to take the double gaming players.
Cool.
I think Sade. So, I'm all for Brentford 2-0 home win. Chelsea Palace, early kickoff.
Before we do, did you watch the game last night?
No.
For those who've not listened to the Ask James stream, which Suj will be one, obviously pressure increasing on Potter.
Hugely.
Any thoughts that should change for you?
What, the pressure? Or the manager?
Yeah. The league position is unacceptable.
I'm not sure. I'm confused.
Because?
He's a good coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are the players not listening to him?
No, I just think they have a horrendous injury list at the moment.
Okay.
I'm not sure we can judge him on that. I think the problem is, though, look, when I tell you, for example, that Chelsea have won, I'm just going to pull it up, they've won one of their last 9 league games. That's clearly not acceptable under any circumstances at any time, is it?
No.
And there's 5 defeats in that period as well, so it's not like there's a shitload of draws. It's 1-1, drawn 3, and lost 5 from the last 9. 6 points from their last 9 games, Suj. So that's clearly, whatever the situation, is not acceptable. But I just think that not only do they have a massive injury list, the problem seems to keep going every game where they pick up new issues, like Zachariah, who actually has been doing quite well, got injured yesterday. Felix has now got himself suspended at a cost of about 1.2 million to Chelsea for the period that he's suspended, which is quite amusing. But I don't think Chelsea are worried about money at the moment. That's probably a podcast down the line in the future. I think to sack him would be unbelievably harsh. However, we have to look at this, I think, realistically and say, if they have a bad result on Sunday at home to Crystal Palace, say Palace go there and win, which I don't think will happen, but let's say they did, and then they go to Anfield and they get beat, and then they have London derbies against Fulham and West Ham and they don't perform, at what point do you fucking hell, it's 1-13 and the pressure gets too big where you've got to change. Now, I think the majority of Chelsea fans understood when this appointment was made that it was a change of process where Chelsea is a football club with new owners, different style of manager, not, let's say, not high profile worldwide, right? Graham Potter's good profile in this country, but perhaps hasn't got a profile that's big in, say, Spain or Italy or something. I don't know. But it was clearly a change of ethos from a win now mentality to we are building for something with a vision, for example. Comment I made when they appointed him is they won't win the league this year. We said that and we agreed with it, and I think Chelsea fans would agree with that. That like he's not going to come in and suddenly they're going to go on a 10-12 game winning run or something, because his teams at Brighton had too many inconsistencies. And his Chelsea team now is having an inconsistent spell, like Brighton always have that one inconsistent spell every single season. The problem will come if the fans change. And I know there's a few Chelsea fans who think at the moment, and you can certainly see some in your way in last night, are like, get out. I think the problem will become is if that goes from a minority to a majority. And even if Chelsea, with all the will in the world, and Todd Boehly thinks, no, we've decided this is a long-term vision, if the fans start calling for a change and he's the owner, he may look at it and think, I've got no choice here. Because suddenly it will go, what have you done to our football club? You've walked in and we've gone from winning trophies every year to this.
Yep.
And you've got this vision. Chelsea fans, in a weird way, and this has been discussed, Potter would have been a far more suitable manager for Tottenham, where there is less expectation on, obviously there's demand to win trophies, but probably more of a buy-in to a vision. Chelsea, from the outside, has been so much, I've got to win a trophy every year. Their problem solution to problems is changing the manager all the time. So for many Chelsea fans, this is just different. Because reality is, if this was any manager under Abramovich, he's sacked today, I think. So it will be up to the fans. Because if the fans become a majority where they want him out, I think Bolly might be forced into changing it, because then people are going to say, what have you done to our club? Why have you changed it so far away? So, but I don't think he should be sacked, by the way. I just think the injury list is way too bad. And in that game last night, three individual errors cost them. Shalabar had a nightmare first half. Koulibaly was better in the sense he was probably 4 out of 10 rather than Shalabar's 3 out of 10. Individual error cost him on the first goal. Kepa individual errors cost him on the second goal. And obviously João Félix, who actually looked ex-lively in the first half, has got one of the most ridiculous red cards you will see all season. It's literally not even up for debate whether that's a red card or not. It's 100% a red card. And on a different day, if you look at the XG last night, Chelsea's like comfortably double Fulham and stuff. Bernd Leno in goal for Fulham was really good. And yet afterwards, I think that's forgotten already. You just go, lost at Fulham.
Are you predicting a Chelsea win then?
Yes.
After all of that?
Yeah, I think it's a good fixture. I think it's a good fixture for them, because I think Palace are in a shit moment. But I do have a consciousness and awareness that sometimes these fixtures are better suited to Palace in terms of space on the break and things like that. So I think Chelsea will have to be conscious of that. I don't think it will be a great game. I'm going to go 2-0 Chelsea.
2-1 Chelsea for me. Newcastle-Fulham.
Fulham have only failed to score in 2 games this season now. Mm-hmm. They have won 4 league games in a row. They keep winning games in a row. We'll be talking about them for Champions League soon. Marco Silva's doing a superb job. And obviously, from their perspective, look, they were without Talisman Mitrovic last night and still got the game won. Very impressive. For a club like Fulham, to win 4 Premier League games in a row is hugely impressive, irrespective of who those opponents may or may not have been. I can see them scoring. What I would add to this.
I'm going 3-1 to Newcastle.
I'm going to go 2-1 to Newcastle. I do think Newcastle will win. But I wouldn't be surprised if Fulham score. And I'm looking at the double Newcastle defensive and going, do I really want to do that? It might be what I end up doing anyway. Yeah, I think Fulham will score. But it's difficult to look beyond Newcastle at St James's at the moment.
Spurs-Arsenal, just give us a score.
1-1.
I'm going 2-1 to Arsenal. Sorry, but
no, that's fine. I know I told you to fuck off the other day, but I think that's perfectly reasonable. I think most people will be expecting me to say
Arsenal will win.
Sorry, I thought I might have just had a Preston Tottenham date, but I don't. most people would have been expecting me to say Arsenal would win. I think what I've tried to think about is the situation for Arsenal. Considering I think City will get beat on Saturday. Because I think suddenly if City get beat Saturday, drawing at Tottenham is suddenly, I mean, it's not a bad result anyway, but suddenly they might look at it and go, it's another point on top of, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There might be a psychological about that in terms of just looking at a weekend and going, if I offered Arsenal fans now that they would finish this weekend with more points than Manchester City than what they've got now, they'll take it. I think if I said to an Arsenal fan now, you're going to draw at Tottenham and City are going to lose United, they take it. And I just wonder if psychologically there might be that impact to the game if City have lost on Saturday, where Arsenal have a psychological problem at Tottenham in the same way Tottenham have a psychological problem at Arsenal. There's been one away win in the fixture in the last 11 years.
If it gets the 70, 75 minutes and it's 1-1, they might see out a draw. But I just think they're better than you.
I'm not even saying to the extent that they wouldn't be trying to win the game. I'm not saying that at all. But I think when you play a team like Tottenham, you are conscious that if you open up, especially if Kulusevski is available, Kulusevski's son Kane, if you put too many men forward, whatever situation we're in, they're liable to kill you. And I think there might be a consciousness from Arsenal to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Palace United is midweek next Wednesday. I've got 2-0 Manchester United on this one.
I've got the same. Yeah.
Can't see beyond that. Then Thursday night, Man City Spurs at the Emirates. I mean, Etihad.
That one's even harder to predict. It's not hard to predict a City win, but it's harder to predict what kind of narrative there is going into that game. Because, I mean, imagine if Tottenham lose badly to Arsenal, right? And City have won against United, then your narratives are kind of spun. If City get beat and then Tottenham have got a great result against Arsenal, just the mood of the two teams, because they're about to come out of their respective derbies, the moods of the teams could be really varying going into this fixture. So it's really difficult one to predict from that perspective in terms of how bad it might be for Tottenham. I'm going to go 3-1 City.
2-0 Manchester City for me on that one. I think they will win and it'll be reasonably comfortable, but I don't think it's going to be like off the charts either.
I don't think we'll get beat off the charts. Like, I don't think City will beat us 4 or 5-0. I think if they got 4 or 5, we'll probably get 2 or 3. It would be like that.
Cool. Do you know what you're doing with your own team, or are you waiting for news?
No, because I mean, look, I say knowing that United are going to play in 22, I don't. But having a clear understanding that it's highly likely to happen, it's beginning to look, certainly helps. I have the exact money in the bank, Suj, for a -8, which I did have last night and knew Harry Kane would go up in price and let go. So came to a consciousness that I was not going to be making this -8, only for Harry Kane's price not to go up last night, despite being at around about 110% on statistics at the time that the price changes happened. I presume that means there's perhaps more wild cards going around than we're perhaps aware of. So I can take an exact -8, Suj, for Kepa to David De Gea, Mo Salah to Rodrigo Moreno, Sam Greenwood to Harry Kane.
Okay.
Thoughts? And that's most likely what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, don't mind it.
There's a few things in the back of my mind. One is Tony. I'd like to have him for this period, you know.
I don't know if he's fit, so you can go to him next week.
Not at this time of recording, I don't. But I might do later today. Luke Shaw is bugging. And I think there might be a psychological problem for me in the sense that honestly, if I could have gone back and had him in game week 17 ahead of 3 great fixtures, it doesn't feel right that I'm buying him when I've just missed out on 3 great fixtures and 3 clean sheets. But it also doesn't feel right to ignore it when there's 5 fixtures for him over the next 3 game weeks and most others have only got 3, right? It's like I'm being stubborn about it. What I like about the David De Gea move is, obviously, if United do blank in 25, I can bench him, right? He doesn't become, if I go Shaw on top of Botman and Trippier and then they're all blanking in 25, I can't keep them all. That makes sense. Whereas I could keep De Gea, Botman, Trippier and Rashford in theory and put an 11 out. And of course, taking this hit as well to get Sam Greenwood out means I'm in a position where I don't have, let's say, a non-playing player in my squad. So it might be, do I think that -8 makes it up immediately? I'm not sure. And to be honest, if Mo Salah goes off right, it's dead instantly. But I think I might be putting myself in a stronger position going forward where I should just fix it right now, get myself De Gea and give myself United coverage at least to cover up against, say, Luke Shaw. And that might be setting me up better in the future. The flip is, shit already starts playing in my mind, Suj, where I look at game week 28, honestly, and I go, right, the chances are United and Leicester both going to blank in that week. And I'm giving myself De Gea and Ward when I know Kepa's got a great fixture in that week. But it just feels too far away, actually. And so I'm leaning in more and more to this -8. Of course, with Rodrigo, it's looking more increasingly likely he's got a double in 22. Now, you know, throwing an extra fixture away to United's not great. But I think despite this new signing that's coming in for them, I think he's going to maintain his place in the team for a little bit. They do have good fixtures either side of what's coming. You know, I'm taking a hit to get him in for Villa away. Am I expecting him to go mad tonight? No. But I feel like if I went for, say, Eriksen instead, as an alternative. I'm just booking that in as another transfer, I think, and another potential problem. As good as United have been, I'm not massively keen on their assets. I'm not keen on Martial. I'm not keen on Fernandes. I'm not keen on Antony. I'm not keen on Varane or Martinez. This is actually, there's only three players I'm interested in, really, is De Gea, Shaw and Rashford. I'm not, Dallow would have been the other one if he'd been available, but I'm not taking that risk.
I'm going to stitch myself up by putting myself booking in transfers because I've got Trippier and Almiron on at the moment.
Yep.
But I'm going to be de-Liverpoolifying James. So out goes Robertson.
Yeah.
And Salah.
Yeah.
And Darwin.
Oh, the whole three.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Imagine if they all started tomorrow. They won 4-5-0.
In comes Luke Shaw, Kevin De Bruyne, Harry Kane. Luke Shaw, Kevin De Bruyne, Harry Kane. Can they outscore Robertson, Salah, Darwin?
Yeah.
Darwin might not even play, right? And all these guys got a double. It does, but when we get to 25...
Remember as well, with the minus eight, you don't have to judge it on 1 week. You could judge it over 3 weeks,
Yeah, that's
5 weeks.
A minus four, James, not a minus eight.
All right, even better.
And it probably leaves me as Trippier, Almiron, Martial, Rashford, Shaw... But Martial was never going to make it to game week 25 anyway. And we'll know by game week 23 what the situation is, right?
Yes, I have some Darwin Nunes news for you, Serge.
Breaking news.
Jurgen Klopp has said if he cannot train today, then yes, that would rule him out. So we are waiting for more information. It's not a major one. It has still kept him out of training, so we have to wait for that. So, I mean, reading between the lines, if I didn't know anything previously, I would say not likely to play this weekend, but could be back as early as next week.
Okay.
That's what that sounds like. So the 3 weeks out might have been an overestimation. Remember, 3 weeks out, by the way, probably would have only meant missing two Premier League games, it's worth saying.
Cool.
But for a 9 million forward or whatever he is, 2 weeks is too much to be... holding on for the
especially
player,
Chelsea next
especially when you got and you've got no value
it's
in
Brighton
the player.
And Chelsea, you know, it's not too.
Not I mean, easy, yeah, but. You're not too fussed about missing those two fixtures, and in any case, I don't think.
Okay, so yeah, let's see what happens. Obviously, keep an eye on the pressers. James will post his team on Twitter. I won't because I don't use Twitter.
To be honest, I might not because
deadline stream.
I might even make the transfers during the stream tonight.
So tune into the deadline stream on YouTube.
But currently, the most likely is I'm probably going to take that minus eight. I might bottle the Kepa to De Gea and just do a minus four. And part of that is I actually fancy Chelsea for a clean sheet this weekend. And if I'm in that, I'm second guessing it. But then I am thinking, if I'm going over the 3 weeks, do I think De Gea outscores Kepa by five or more over the 3 game week period? I think the answer to that is yes. And I'm probably a little bit reluctant of thinking, oh, I'll come back for that one in 2 weeks. And I think, oh, God, I've now missed 3 United clean sheets and a double game week. And obviously, if it comes this week and I haven't gone there and United do really well defensively, it feels like Luke Shaw could single-handedly really hurt my rank this week, whereas De Gea will cover that some of that up. Interesting, those 3 clean sheets, 7 points in all of them, Suj. So we know with De Gea...
Oh, De Gea?
Yeah.
I thought you meant Shaw.
No, obviously not. We know that the potential is there for save points / bonus points if the clean sheets are there for De Gea. We know that. Doesn't particularly help me next week, by the way, because obviously United go to Arsenal. Leicester have Brighton home, but then Chelsea were going to Liverpool anyway. So I was fucked for a good goalkeeper next week anyway, and I think most people will be. So I think that minus eight is the most likely... But I'm going to wait for team news. I mean, on Cancelo at the moment, my take is hold. And I think this will be the case, I think, that people should consider for the majority of City players. If you're blessed in a position where you are really happy with the rest of your squad and stuff, and you want to downgrade Cancelo to Shaw, Laporte, Rico Lewis, whatever, fine, by all means, do so. By the way, I could take a minus four surge and go Cancelo to Rico Lewis, keep Salah and go Mitrovic to Kane. I just think that Rico. Lewis down the line is a problem. It's a problem in terms of his minutes when I've got another 3.9 defender, and it's also a problem in terms of if I want to get to another Man City player, it's a minus four straight away because of the value and taking up a third City spot. I think the most likely situation it's beginning to sound for Cancelo is that he doesn't play at Manchester United this weekend, but probably will play against Tottenham. And then if I'm in a position where it's Cancelo, single game day at home to Tottenham, it's all right, isn't it? Do I need to be taking a hit to get Cancelo out for Tottenham at home? No, I don't think I do. So he's going to stay. I'm going to assess this week. They've got Wolves at home next week, which is also obviously an appealing fixture. And if I go into that and think he's going to play, then the intention next week would be to roll and then probably downgrade it for the next City double, arguably.
Okay. Should we do this dead teams, differential teams, announce our 56ers?
All that jazz. Yes, yeah. We can do that, Suj. Dead team for us last week. Suj, 39 points. Whoop, whoop. 10 points, Ivan Perisic. What a guy. Not a lot else knocking about. Dead team of the week was Gareth Southgate, dead Vindaloo with obviously the all-star English team, and dead team manager of the week by a long way, 79 points. Ramsdale, Trent, Dyer, Trippier, White, even allowed for Raheem Sterling's 1 point, Jared Bowen, Mason Mount, Saka, Kane captain, Solanke, and no Ivan Tony available at the moment. Obviously, auto subbed out. 79 points. The wooden spoon for the dead teams last week. Shout out to our friend Shifo, 27 points. And I'm gonna give Shifo another shout out now because I don't think this ever happened before. So this is Planet FPL folklore, historical. Shifo also had the worst score for the differentials of all active teams. Hello, Shifo, my friend. Mate. 29 points. For his differentials, which doesn't even look a bad team. 6 points for Bruno Fernandes, the only return in that. The differential manager of the week was our friend Joe Murphy with 76 points. Captain Willian for 30. Absolutely smashed it. 8 for Sonny, 4 for Mount, 4 for Havertz, 6 Bruno Fernandes, Luke Shaw's 15 as well. So Joe Murphy, manager of the week, 76 for the differentials. For us, Suj, 51 points. Not brilliant, not terrible. Matt Doherty's 14 points at Crystal Palace certainly helped, as did Sonny's 8 points. So got quite a bit out of that second half at Selhurst Park. 6 for Gabriel, 6 for Bruno Fernandes. We do need to make a transfer, Suj. And that's because we have 2 free transfers, 0.53 in the bank with some flags. Crescencio Somerville, red flagged. Darwin Nunez, yellow flagged. Dejan Kulusevski, yellow flagged.
What's Somerville red flagged for? Injury?
Yep.
Oh, they didn't retrospectively look at his dodgy tackle.
Do you know what? By the way, I said I'd speak to you about that and we didn't.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I have seen it. But there wasn't a replay that was clear where you could actually see where the contact was of what I saw.
Oh, okay.
So I only saw what was on Match of the Day.
Did you see the blood?
And
that was quite obvious. No. There was a lot of, stud marks.
I presume maybe
upper shin.
Kids will watch Match of the Day, so they probably kept that out, maybe,
I
guess. But yeah, the three angles that they showed, Serge, you couldn't really tell.
No. You see him jumping in, but you
couldn't make a conclusion on it.
So I'm looking at the differentials. We've got who's Somerville.
Who's Somerville? Yeah, we have
Somerville, Kulu, and Darwin flag.
Yeah, so bust at the moment I've got us Kepa in goal, back three of Doherty with the double, Andy Robertson, Gabriel, midfield four of Bruno with a double, Sonny and Kulusevski with a double, Mason Mount up front, Nunez, Wilson, Martial double, on the bench, Pickford, Dunk, Bueno, and Somerville. Yes, the Somerville that makes us not think about the bench boost. Cheers, thanks.
Kulu is fit, yeah?
The word he's been training since Tuesday, so I'd certainly expect him to be in the squad unless he has a setback. I think if we weren't playing Arsenal, he probably wouldn't start. But I think because we are playing Arsenal, we probably will start. If that makes sense. I think it does make sense. What are you thinking?
Just get Sade for Somerville.
You love this dude. You've seen him for like 20 minutes, mate.
He's cheap, though. I didn't realise how cheap he was, and I thought he was going to come in the game as a forward, because he definitely is a forward. He's not a midfielder.
Okay, five Manchester United players worth consideration here. And obviously, we've got two frees, right?
So yeah.
We could take two frees if we want. David De Gea is accessible. So too Rafael Varane and Lisandro Martinez. Christian Eriksen and Antony also available. What do you think about Riyad Mahrez as a punt?
Yeah, don't mind them.
Could literally just get him in for Mason Mount, mate.
Yeah.
As an option.
Yeah.
The only two players I've listed as differentials for consideration.
Forwards.
One is a forward. That is Brian Mbeumo. 5.8. Interesting. Three good fixtures coming up. And obviously the player I've spoken about a lot, Rodrigo at Leeds, who I think is worth consideration as well. So we have 0.3 in the bank, Suj. Two free transfers. What do we want to do here? Are we getting rid of Nunes? I mean, if we got rid of Nunes,
sell Nunes,
and we went Mbeumo,
we might not even need to sell Mount.
Where's he gone, old Mbeumo? That would leave us with Suj, 3.2 million in the bank, and we could sell Mount, obviously, but we wouldn't have to. We can sell Somerville. That'd get us up to 7.5. Which I think I want to say is Riyad Mahrez's price. I think he is 7.5.
Done.
Exact money.
Done.
Is that the conclusion?
I think so.
Or would you rather go Rodrigo?
Nah, Mahrez.
I'd just be a bit conscious with Rodrigo's 7.2% ownership. If he did well this weekend or tonight, and then the double did get announced, we might sit here this time next week and it might be gone. That's the only thing. With Mahrez, he could start twice. He might not start at all, right?
Yeah, it's a fair point. If Rodrigo doesn't return, I won't be annoyed. It's one of them. He'll return 50% of weeks or whatever. If Mahrez doesn't return, I will be annoyed.
We're going Mahrez here, aren't we?
Yeah, go on. It's a double. It's a double,
right,
for City.
Exact money in the bank. Now, what that's going to do is create an absolutely massive benching headache where we would have to bench one of Mbeumo at home to Bournemouth, Callum Wilson at home to Fulham, or Mason Mount at home to Crystal Palace. We'd have to bench one of those three players.
It's not Mbeumo.
Not at home to Bournemouth, no.
It's Wilson or...
We ain't going to bench Wilson, are we, surely?
Yeah, I think it's Mount, you know.
Probably have to be, wouldn't it?
I think it's Mount, you know. Yeah, I think it's Mount, you know.
But then part of that is, if you look at that then, do you look at it and think, should we just sell Mount and leave the money in the bank? They go to Liverpool next week. We ain't going to play him next week either.
No, we'll move him on next week. You never know, injuries happen and all that kind of thing. Somerville's out for a while, right? Red flagged. We'll move on the red flag. Mount's at least there.
Back three, in fact, firstly, goalkeepers, Kepa or Pickford?
Kepa.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think there could be clean sheets for both. Bueno, Dunk, Gabriel to play.
Gabriel.
I don't think any of them kick clean sheets. I've got them all to concede once.
Gabriel.
So is Gabriel the best defensive one then, potentially?
Yeah, I think Gabriel.
Okay, fine. Gabriel, captain. We would have, in terms of doublers, the three Tottenham players, Doherty, Kudelski, Son. We would have Bruno Fernandes. I wouldn't captain Anthony Martial.
Bruno.
And we'd throw Riyad Mahrez into that as well.
Bruno.
Yeah, very reluctantly, I'm in agreement with you. Bruno over Sonny. Okay, fine. That's the differentials done. Minus 56. Manager of the week by a long way. Russell Clark, 94 points. Captain, any guesses, Suj?
Luke Shaw.
Nope.
Okay.
He did have Luke Shaw in his team. Burnt Leno captain, 28 points. He's managed to get 10 out of Koulibaly on top of Shaw's 15. Also got an assist out of Tyrone Mings, 7. 4 for Mount, 5 for Decordova-Reed, 6 for Fernandes, 8 for Rashford, 5 for Mitrovic, 4 for Havertz. The only blanker is number 2, Ollie Watkins. He's number 2. He's 2 points, Ollie Watkins. Even left Ivan Perisic third on his bench with a 10-pointer. Wooden spoon for the minus 56 FPL Mango, captained, unfortunately, Raheem Sterling, and has got a mountain worth of headaches now, unfortunately, because he's got Sterling, Van Dijk, Darwin Nunez, and Leandro Trossard. He somehow managed to bench Luke Shaw's 15 points, but actually looking at his team selections, I can completely understand why he did that. But yeah, there's no fucking returns in there other than Rashford, basically. I got 61, Suj. Yep. 11 for Tim Ream was nice. 8 for Rashford. 6 Fernandes. Andreas Pereira, Mount, Bits, Havertz. Performance. Not performance. Definitely not performance. Appearance points. I captained Mitrovic for the 10 points. But I think you outscored me, Serge.
For a change, 65. I had De Gea's 7. Luke Shaw's 15. Rashford, 8. Mitrovic, captain, same as you, for 10. And Pereira and Decordova-Reed with assists. But that was it. But I didn't know, obviously, that Manchester United would double this week. So I picked Luke Shaw and Marcus Rashford.
I went Fernandes and Rashford, and didn't
De Gea.
I?
So I couldn't pick them. However, I've got 12... I've got 10 doublers in my team.
I've only gone for 9.
Okay. I've got Edison in goal. My 3 City are Edison, De Bruyne and Haaland. Haaland's captain. I've got 2 Spurs, Doherty and Kane. I've got 3 Manchester United, Martinez, Varane and Eriksen. 2 Crystal Palace in Eze and Zaha. And then I've added Callum Wilson. My bench is Alton, De Silva, Totti and Bueno. So I'll read it out front to back, make it a bit more sensible. Edison in goal, Martinez, Varane, Doherty, back 3. Eriksen, Zaha, Eze, De Bruyne, midfield. Haaland, captain. Kane, vice-captain. Wilson, up front.
By the way, we didn't talk about it. Are you using triple captain this week?
No.
Oh, you're not? No, no, neither am I. Sorry. Probably the fact that we didn't mention it probably clarified it. Okay, that's the team. I have gone treble Manchester United defensive. David De Gea, Raphael Varane and Luke Shaw. It's becoming a scourge of my life, I think. I've gone treble Manchester City offensive. Riyad Mahrez, Kevin De Bruyne, captain Erling Haaland. I've gone treble Tottenham spread. Ivan Perisic, Dejan Kulusevski and Harry Kane. I have 2 single game week players. I've ignored Crystal Palace. Bryan Mbeumo up front. And I'm also going to start Brighton and Hove Albion's Karu Mitoma. On the bench, I have gone very, very cheap, but have cover. Iverson in goal, Leon Bailey, and 2 Wolves defensive, Hugo Bueno and Toti Gomez,
same
both 3.9, just about filled it out. To certainly cover on a bench. Not that I'm going to need that bench, I don't think. Good luck.
Cool. Good luck, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back at you next week.
Thanks, patrons. Play it your way. Be nice to each other.
Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.